We are going to turn in God's Word this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. We have been in this chapter for a little while now. We have come to see many of the great works of Christ. And we saw how He has ministered healing to many. And even in the previous chapter 5, many miracles there as well. We're going to begin reading God's Word today in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Very short reading today. Mark 6 and verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 34. And oh, that the Lord would open to us this portion of His holy word today for our good and for His own name's sake. The songwriter said around 100 years ago, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith. Do what He willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me. Still will I enter in. The hymn writer was resolved to go to Jesus. And you know, in our text this morning, we have two groups of people that were determined to get to Jesus. And they did. Then we have Jesus ministering to the various needs of these two different groups of people. So let us consider this morning only these two things. First of all, let us look at these two groups of people coming to Jesus. And then, lastly, we will see the ways that the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to these two groups. First, in verse 30, notice verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. And they told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. The apostles wanted to get back to Jesus. Christ had sent the 12 out much earlier. He had sent them forth to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they had gone forth preaching that men should repent. You may remember, that is the commission that Jesus gave them. The power of Christ was so mightily demonstrated through them that verse 13 of this chapter says, they cast out many devils, they anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. Oh, what wonderful words those are in such a time as this, that they were healed. Their ministries as Christ's apostles were indeed so great and so blessed that the next verse tells us, verse 14 tells us, that King Herod heard. We noticed that a week ago. When the apostles eagerly gathered themselves back to Jesus, they happily told Him what they had done and what they had said or what they had taught. They were flushed with their success in that first mission that He had given them. Now here is a very great example for us. As Christ sent them forth with instructions on what they were to do and how they were to live, even so He has given His Word to us, telling us what we are to do and how we are to live. It would therefore be a very wise and good thing for us to follow their example. At the end of every day, we ought to eagerly come to Jesus and recount to Him what we have said and what we have done in any particular day. Prayer is coming to the Lord in Jesus' holy name. We come to Him to confess what we have done, and we come to Him to seek grace, to receive counsel, guidance, and strength from the Lord Himself. And you know, prayer is the secret of any success that we have in living for Christ or serving Him in any way. But I have to say this, too often we wait too long till the end of the day, and we are so wasted and so weary that we more easily fall asleep in prayer than thoughtfully to recall our day, examining what we have done, recounting what we have said. But let us make it our practice, even as the apostles, to eagerly come to Jesus and tell Him all. As the songwriter said, I must tell Jesus. Well, that was the first group that were eagerly coming, looking to gather with Christ. The second group was the multitude, or the crowd, that so often gathered around Christ. Notice verse 31. And He said unto them, that is to His disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Why? For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. There were so many people around Christ that they couldn't even have a decent meal. Could not enjoy sitting down to eat together. This reminds me of the crowds of homeschool families and even many public school families that have sometimes flooded our reenactment school day outreach. On some weekends, On some of those occasions, we have had so many hundreds of these families that were portioned off in groups of 20, and they would come to us one group right after the other, and that continued from 9 o'clock in the morning till after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What a joy it was to speak to them about Christ and salvation and to give out gospel tracts. But there was no opportunity for a bite of food in all of those hours. And very difficult even to get a drink of water. But what a blessing it was to give out the word to precious needy souls. And here is a multitude that is so surrounded them that they can't even eat. Notice verse 33. Verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities. They were coming out of all these cities running to Jesus. In verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. A great multitude. Many thousands, we know. If you go farther on in the chapter, you will see that there were many, many thousands. Now, it was a day that was somewhat reminiscent of the prophecy that Jacob gave regarding Christ in Genesis 49. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's especially pointing to that great and final day. But even as Christ was in his first coming, swamped oftentimes by multitudes, we're certainly reminded of those prophetic words, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Those people were literally running to be with Christ. And he had gotten into a boat to go across from that area of Capernaum over to Bethsaida. And by water, it was only 4 miles. But the people, in going around the land, had to make the 10 miles. And the Lord Jesus and his disciples, the apostles, were going across that shorter distance. And the people were literally running to get there. Why were they flocking to Christ? They saw him, verse 33 says, and they knew him. They knew who he was. The people needed him. They desired him because they were shepherdless. They were untaught. They were unguarded. And they were unguided, and they knew that they needed the Lord. Well, that completes the first half of our message. The two groups that were anxious to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. The second and final part of the message is this: how Christ ministered to the particular needs of both the groups of people. Let us look, first of all, at Christ's ministry to his own apostles. There in verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. How tender Christ's feelings were as a man to his weary, tired apostles. He knew that they needed their much deserved rest after all their labors. And so he instructs them. He says to them, come. Notice the word come there in verse 31. Meaning he's going too. Come with me. Come, because he was going to a desert place. Most interesting term, those two words. There are two words in the original, just like there are two words in English. Back in Mark chapter 1, in verse 35, we have Christ Himself resorting to such a place. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place. And there prayed." Solitary place. Exactly the same two Greek words translated "there is a solitary place" as are translated here in chapter 6, "a desert place." Same thing. So we understand from that Christ went to such a place in order to pray. So rest and refreshment includes retirement from the world into a solitary place for prayer. Oh, how necessary prayer is for our rest, and how sweetly we sleep after we have prayed. But how restful prayer is. Isn't it a wonderful experience just to come and to sit still before the Lord and commune with Him, pray to Him, pour out our hearts to Him in prayer? How refreshing and how restful that is. Christ knows that our constant attention to our work, our constant attention to our business, and even our attention to our ministry tends to take us away from our private soul business with Him. That bears to be repeated. Christ knows that our constant attention to our work, to our business, and even to our ministry tends to take us away from our private soul business with Him. Even while trying to help others care for their vineyards, we tend to neglect our own vineyard. Song of Solomon 1 in verse 6. The language that Jesus uses here is so beautiful. He says, literally, this is what it says, "Come, rest yourselves a little." Come, rest yourselves a little. We must not forget. We must not give up. But we must jealously guard our daily solitary time with Christ. We must jealously guard our heart. We must take time to be holy. We must take time to examine ourselves spiritually. Time to meditate. Time to read God's Word, and time to pray. I say then, we must jealously guard our daily solitary time with Christ. We must jealously guard our heart. We must take time to be holy. We must have time to examine ourselves spiritually. Time to meditate on God's Word, and time to pray. Real success and eternal prosperity are tied to and intimately bound up with the prosperity of the soul. Did you hear that? Real success and eternal prosperity are tied to and intimately bound up with the prosperity of the soul. 3 John verse 2. The apostle says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Well, Christ's ministry to His apostles was for their good. And this brings us to the last thought in this passage. Christ's ministry to the huge gathering crowd. You see there, in verse 34, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You read the passage carefully and what follows, you see that Christ was putting first things first. Those people came to him as those sheep without a shepherd. And so he first instructed them, gave them the truth of the saving gospel. He fed their souls, and then afterward, he would feed their bodies with that miraculous multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Jesus, we are told in verse 34, came out. He either came out to the multitude from the boat, or he had already gotten on the land at that desert place, and he came to them from that solitary place. It doesn't matter. He came to them. He would not hide from them. He was moved with compassion for them. He saw that they were sheep not having a shepherd. They had no spiritual teachers, but the blind scribes and Pharisees. They had no spiritual food, but only empty man-made traditions. Thousands of poor, ignorant, helpless souls stood before Christ as those on the very brink of destruction. This deeply touched the gracious heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. So moved with compassion, He taught them many things. The last words of our text. He taught them many things. Christ understood both the temporal and the eternal needs of all those thousands of people. First things first. He spoke to them about their sin. He began to teach them their need of salvation through God's appointed Lamb. Christ truly feels pity for wandering, wretched sinners. He says, I would have gathered you to myself. Those are sincere words of Jesus. Oh, the true pity of the Son of God. His compassions fail not. It is the teaching of Christ that we all need. It is so much better than priest teaching. So much better than church teaching, man teaching, or even book teaching. What we all need is to be instructed by the Lord Himself. His gracious words are for the health and the joy of the inner man. Our blessed Lord still looks down from His exalted throne with compassion on needy, ignorant, lost sinners. So let us tell even the most wicked, the vilest people that we meet that Jesus pities them, because Jesus had compassion on this vast multitude. Let us tell sinners that He cares for their soul, that He is willing and that He is able to save them, that He invites all to believe on Him. I wonder today, do you, my fellow Christian, do you have any pity? Do you have any compassion? Do you have any concern for the thousands that are dying of this dreaded epidemic? Do you care enough even to share a gospel tract with a needy, dying soul? Do you give of your money to spread the gospel across the world? If you were like Christ, if you were a true Christian, you, like Him, will have a heart of pity on needy sinners. If a person does not pity the lost and dying, it may well be a sign that he is not a true Christian at all. What a wonderful Savior is our Savior. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee so much for Thy instructing word. Lord, we see ourselves as Christians here. We see our needs, even as Thou hast pointed out in these Holy Scriptures. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt help us to take stock of ourselves before Thee every day. Not only at the beginning of the day, but also at the end of the day. Oh Lord, we have much confessing and much repenting to do along with our nation. The fingers of this nation dripping with the blood of millions of the innocent. And oh God, we have rejected Thy holy word and the sanctity of marriage. And we have instead said that every form of perversion is legal. Oh God, deliver us from evil. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt take the truth of our Savior's compassion towards sinners and cause any that are listening this morning without the Lord Christ, that they would come, even at that invitation of Jesus, come unto me and I will give you rest. Please bless Thy word to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song.